I lost the power on there for a moment, so we're going to have to just wait till that comes up. But just to remind you where we're up to, we're looking at the book of Hebrews, and we've got as far as chapter 11. In fact, we have 3 weeks on chapter 11, and that's because it's a very important chapter in the book. And in a way, all of the chapters before it lead up to this focus, because the chapters before it the writer tells us how Jesus is central, how Jesus is so much more and better than all of the prophets and the angels and so many different things. But Jesus is the pinnacle of our faith. Just to start off with, I thought that we might just have a bit of light entertainment, if you like. These are signs outside of different churches, and I think you know this one. Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed snake, and snake, well, we know that one, don't we? Can you see that? Perhaps something could have the light off. There are some questions that can't be answered by Google. Down in the mouth. I don't think any of these have been on the sign outside Mount Chapel. This is one for Ian. Is Ian here? Okay. God, you're great. You read that? As you pass this little church, be sure to plan a visit, so when at last you carried in, God won't ask, who is it? Speak well of your enemies, it says. About it. Final exams. Almost 2,000 years old and still under the Maker's guarantee. God is perfect. Okay. We are the sole agent. You can choose one out of this and we'll maybe get Jean to stick it on the notice board. How about this one? The meek shall inherit the earth. If it's all right with you. Oh, this is a good one. Happy Easter to our Christian friends. Happy Passover to our Jewish friends. To our atheist friends, good luck. I think that's it. Okay. Well, that's nothing to do with what I'm going to say. Nothing at all. Okay, so let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 11. And although we're actually starting at verse 7 in our study today, I'm going to refer back just to that first verse because it really is key to our study of the chapter and of faith in particular. Because in that first verse, it says faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And I've always puzzled about that verse, and to be honest, I've never been very clear as to what it means. And the thing about speaking is it does make you think, you know, when you're asked to speak, the front. It does make you think, and it does make you do a bit of research. So I thought, well, perhaps I need to understand better what that verse means. And so, as I often do, I went back to the original Greek, not because I know Greek, but because with a book like this, we have the Greek and the direct word-for-word translation of each word in the original. And as I look at that, I see two words which I hadn't realized before were there. The kind of words that come through, as you look at the Greek and you look at it word by word, the kind of words that come through are these. Faith is of things being hoped for, and then the reality, that's a word in the Greek, the reality. There's something about reality. It is of things, the proof of things not seen. So two words there which I hadn't realized were sort of hidden in the meaning, if you like. One was reality, and the other was proof. And as I've sort of pondered on the translations that we have, and the words that are there in the original, I'm beginning to feel and understand that what that verse is saying is that faith is about reality. When we hear the word hoped for, then that's not very helpful to us, because hope sort of has a kind of uncertainty about it in our common everyday use today. And really there's nothing uncertain about what we're talking about here. So what I've written down here is that faith is about reality, and it's about the reality of what we believe in, what we hope for, but it's a certainty. And faith is the evidence of things that cannot be proved. And I've wondered about that, and what does it mean? You know, when it talks about things that are not seen, what does it mean? And you may have a better understanding of this than I do, but as I think about it, my feeling is that the things that are unseen are the things of God. That the things that are unseen are the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is something which we know about, we're taught about, but we don't actually see it in the physical world, in the sense that it's not a building, it's not something which we can get hold of with our tangible hands, but it is nevertheless something that is real. So when we talk about things which are not seen, then I believe that's referring to God and to God's kingdom. And faith is something to do with the reality in our real world, if you like, the very presence of God's kingdom. And faith is to do with that. So faith is the reality, the activation of what we believe, what we hope for. It is the evidence of something that cannot be proved, something which cannot be seen. And if you went to an atheist, or in fact anybody, and they asked you to prove the existence of God, to prove the existence of God's kingdom, you wouldn't be able to do it. You wouldn't actually be able to do an experiment in a scientific sense and say, you know, here it is, I can show it to you. But in some way, our faith is the evidence of that unseen world, of the unseen kingdom. So what is this reality? What is our faith, the reality of this unseen world? What is the outworking? What is the evidence? That's what it's saying. As we look at the examples in this passage, and we read all about the ancients, we'll go through the list of them in just a moment. As we read about them and see what their testimony is, then we see the outworking of the kingdom of God in their lives. We see the reality of it. What we see in their lives is, first of all, that they heard from God, and secondly, that they were obedient to what they heard. You see, from the unseen world, they hear, and more than that, they obey. And quickly we can go through the list of those that are mentioned there. I'm not going to read the whole passage because it's very familiar to you, but if you look at the beginning there, you see faith, by faith Abel, if you want to follow in chapter 11. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice. And then in verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken from this life. And verse 7. Let me just pause on verse 6 because it's important. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So there is this condition, first of all, that we must seek God, we must believe in him that he exists, and we must earnestly seek him. But then there's more to it than that. There is this testimony that these people were obedient. They sought God, they heard from God, they received directions and instructions for their lives, and then they were obedient to what God called them to do. And then in verse 7, by faith Noah warned about things not seen. You see, this is the unseen. He was told that something was going to happen, and he was obedient, and he prepared for that. And then a large part of that chapter is all about Abraham. In verse 8, about by faith Abram, when called out, he obeyed what God said to him. And then particularly in verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. So there was that faith, that vision that they had in their lives. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So they were looking for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So as it goes on, we find that by faith Abraham did so many things. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. And by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. And by faith Joseph, he speaks about giving instructions for his bones. So all of these were situations where men of God earnestly sought God's presence, God's direction, and having heard from God, from the living word of God, they were obedient to what God said to them. So this is the dynamic, if you like, this is the way in which faith works. And there is, first of all, a hearing, and then there is an evidence to follow. And you know, there is that important verse in Romans chapter 10 which says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the whole nature of faith, you know, we get confused by what faith means, but the whole nature of faith, it implies a relationship. There needs to be that living relationship between God and the believer if there is to be a hearing process, Because it's only when you have a relationship, it's only when you're with somebody that you can actually hear, listen to them and hear what they're saying. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that there is that current relationship which is important. And Jesus, and this is an important verse for me, because Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And I'll come back to this time and again because it's so important, so critical. I only do what I see the Father doing. There's so much of our time we focus on the written word, and that's good because everything which we believe and everything we hear is centered in this word of God. Everything that we are asked to do or consider must fit and be obedient to what we read in the written word of God. And God speaks to us through that. But as well as that, there is the active word of God, the dynamic word of God. And when Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, he wasn't talking about his study of the scriptures. He was talking about an active personal relationship with his Heavenly Father. So that as he went about his ministry, he was constantly referring to God and looking to see what God wanted him to do in each of the situations he entered into. So that is the kind of active word of God that we're talking about in this living relationship. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As God leads us, as we seek his face, as we listen to his voice, and as we respond to that voice, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing from that word of God. So it's God's active participation, God's active directives in the ministry of the Christian. So there is this faith which comes by hearing, and then there's the working out of that faith, the evidence of that faith, as we respond to that word. And sometimes I think we get confused between faith and doctrine. Faith and what we believe. It is important what we believe. And the doctrine is important, but it's not the whole of faith. And when Paul speaks about faith, the Apostle Paul speaks about faith, he's careful to make it clear that it's much more important than the works that we do, the ritual observance that the religious people did at the time, the things that people tried to do in order to get right with God, all of the ritual stuff and all of the laws, the religious laws that they followed. None of that was helpful, because that was not the way to find God. Faith was important, and faith depends upon this living relationship, depends upon accepting that Jesus has done everything necessary for us to find that relationship with the Father. But then faith is more than that, because God has created us for good works which he has prepared in advance for us. He has prepared a work for us, not a ritual work, not something we strive for. It's nothing to do with the old laws, the old religious laws. It's something that God has asked us and prepared for us to do. And James, in his letter, says that without this kind of faith, without this active outworking of what we believe, then our faith is dead. It doesn't mean anything. There needs to be evidence to show that personal relationship with God. And it's this kind of faith that is triggered by a word from God, a word that is living and active, a word that pierces to the dividing of soul and spirit. That is the living and the active word of God, the communication of God to you, to your spirit, as you earnestly seek his face, as you seek to be obedient, and as we all seek to be obedient to his call. And I like what Bill Johnson writes in his book, When Heaven Invades Earth. I can't remember the title now, but a recent book by Bill Johnson. And he writes this: my faith is not just abiding faith. That's important. My faith is not just abiding faith. It is active. It is aggressive by nature. It has focus and purpose. Faith grabs hold of the kingdom and forcefully and violently brings it into a collision with this natural one. That's so powerful. My faith is not just abiding faith. That's good. That's important. You know, what we rest in is good and important. What we believe is good and important. But he says it's more than that. It's active. More than that, it's aggressive by nature. It has focus and purpose. Faith grabs hold of the kingdom and forcefully and violently brings it into collision with this natural one. So, to me now, this chapter is talking about a faith which is, in a sense, much more than I imagined when I started my study. Because it's something which is dynamic, and it's something which is challenging. Now, I've always been a fan of Smith Wigglesworth. I'm told that if I'd actually met him, I wouldn't have liked the guy. He was a bit of a rough character, but I like what he writes and what he did. Was simply amazing. What he did in God's name through the power of the Holy Spirit is simply amazing. And it's a great help to me because Smith Wigglesworth sort of brings up to date, it's just sort of 50 years ago, I guess, now that Smith Wigglesworth's ministry was active. And so it brings the New Testament up to date. The things that are happening in the New Testament happened, you know, just 50 years ago and happened throughout history. And that was a great help to me in my search for faith. And in a way, it would be nice to think, well, isn't there somebody like that around today? And there are people like that today. And I've just read a book which has so thrilled me that I bought a few copies. And I've only got 4 copies. And what I'd like to do is, it's a book by Heidi Baker. And it's called Compelled by Love. And it speaks of the ministry in Mozambique. And it speaks of signs and wonders. And it speaks of Heidi and Roland Baker's work in Mozambique as they go and they minister to the poor and the needy. In other words, they're out doing the work of the kingdom. And what's more important to me in my faith is that as they do that, then there are signs and wonders that are following. And signs and wonders which stretch my faith. And of all the books I've read recently, this is the one that's blessed me most. And I've got 4 copies. And if you'd like to take one, anybody, and you'd like to read it and pass it on, please take one now. Can I offer the book to anybody? All I'm asking is that if once you've read it, if you could pass it on, no charge. 2 more? Anybody? Someone take it. Anybody else? Okay. What I'm saying is that that book, if you dare to read it, will build your faith. Because it is a testimony, a living testimony of someone who is listening to what God is saying and is daring to be obedient in a way which blows the mind. So we do have people like Smith Wigglesworth, and Heidi Baker is one of them, and her ministry is unfolding today. And as we listen to that kind of testimony, as we read about that testimony, it does, because of the witness and the testimony of what they say, it builds our faith. In other words, if God can work in that way through Heidi Baker, then she's just an ordinary person like you and me. Perhaps God wants to work in a similar way through me. And perhaps as I come into God's presence, as I seek His face and as I listen to His voice, perhaps God wants to use me in a similar way. And another testimony which has helped me to build my faith is this testimony from Chad Dedman, which I'm going to see if I can bring up for you. I might need a hand mic, Stephen. Just stare at it, right. And see what we can do. The picture isn't very good, but you'll be able to hear what it says. I'm going to restart it.
Woman that heals, she's just. One of our young men earlier this year went down to the grocery store about 10 o'clock at night to get one of the most basic food groups, donuts. He was hungry. So as he's walking by the cashier, he notices a woman there with a hearing aid. So he turns to her and says, can I pray for you? And she says, yes. And she turns around to do her business. And he said, no, I mean right now. So she looks around and says, well, okay. So he prays for her. She's 50% deaf in one ear and 100% deaf in the other. And so he prays for her, and both ears open up. She's completely healed. Well, the woman is crying. The cashier is crying. The woman behind the counter is going, this is God, this is God. Our young man is going, this is God, this is God. The woman who got healed, she's just crying. That, up to that point, is absolutely a normal event. We have that happen just around town all the time. Because our conviction is, if the gospel doesn't work in the marketplace, it doesn't work. So, at that point is where it takes a turn for the better. That right there is average. Now we're going to hit the home run. The guy looks at the cashier who's crying, saying, this is God. And he says, you know, God wants to do more in this store tonight. And he says, can I use the intercom? So she looks at him and says, this is God. She teaches him how to use the intercom. So he takes the intercom and he goes, attention shoppers. God just came into the store. And he healed a woman who was deaf at cash register number 10. Then he says, ma'am, come here. And he gets the woman over there, tell them what God did for you. So she gives a testimony on the intercom and goes for sure. sees through, he takes the mic back and he says, God wants to do more in this store tonight. I heard the words, new hip. Someone in the store needs a new hip. He says, carpal tunnel. God is going to heal carpal tunnel. And he starts giving these words of knowledge. And he says, if you want to receive prayer, I will be at cash register number 10. So within moments, people are coming down the aisles. There's a huge grocery store. People are coming down the aisles going, looking down at cash register number 10. And pretty soon the crowd starts forming around him at the cash register. And as soon as this crowd comes, this woman comes on one of the little electric carts. She comes wheeling into the group. She goes, I'm the new hip. So he lays hands on her, begins to pray for the hip. He says, now, ma'am, move that leg. And she said, if I do, it'll hurt. And so he talked to her about how faith needs an activity. And it told her to move the leg. And she moved it. And she went, oh. And he says, what? She said, it doesn't hurt. He says, then I suggest you get up and walk. She gets up. She starts walking completely well across the street. Everybody, you got to realize, this is like one of the events listed in the Bible. Everybody there knows nothing. And they're going, wow. You know, just impressed what God was doing. Pretty soon, the guy pushes his way through the crowd, just like in the Bible. And he says, I'm a piano teacher. I do concerts. It's how I make my living. And I can't play. I have carpal tunnel so bad. Do you think God would heal me? And he said, yes, of course. And he prayed for him. And his hands turned to fire. And he began to shake his hand. My hands are on fire. My hands are on fire. And we've always told our people that hot is good. If it's hot, that's a good sign. So within moments, this guy is healed of this problem. And he told the guy later, when I came into the store, it's the first time in my life, when I came into the store tonight, I said to myself, wouldn't it be great if the pain stopped tonight? And the Lord heard that cry. He counted it as intercession, prayer. And he sent the man of God after one of the four basic food groups. He ended up praying for so many different people, and God just moved powerfully in the grocery store. In fact, so powerfully, he forgot to buy the donuts. He never did. But when he was through praying for people, he's standing there thinking to himself, I ought to preach. I've got a crowd. So he starts preaching the gospel. Cash register number 10. And he starts telling them about God's blood and how that he forgives sin and just going through the gospel. He says, if you would like to receive Christ right now, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. So he has a call, ready? Cash register number 10. All these people got saved. You pray to them? Just another trip to the grocery store. Isn't that amazing? Yay, God. Yay, God.
That was Bill Johnson, by the way. And he was telling about one of his young men called Chad Deadman, and just one of their team. And if you want to listen to Chad's testimony, Chad's account of that, you can find that on YouTube as well. And it's the reason I put Bill Johnson's version up was simply because it gives credibility. You know, if it's just anybody you don't know on YouTube, then you might wonder, well, is this true or not? But Bill Johnson has a credible ministry. So yes, these things happen. And okay, I'm not there. I'm not doing that kind of stuff. But it builds my faith because it tells me that this is possible. If Heidi Baker can do it. And if Chad Deadman can do it, these are ordinary people, then I can do it as well. And what's required? It requires faith. And what does faith mean? It means that we have to have a living, personal relationship with God. We're listening to what he's asking us to do, not only in our quiet time in the morning, but, you know, moment by moment, minute by minute, as we meet people in the supermarket or whatever. And then, you know, it comes to a point where you have to be bold enough to actually do what you sense God is telling you to do. And that's the tough bit. That's the really tough bit. And that's where I'm aiming for. This is what I'm aiming for. And I guess this is really where we need to be going. So we need to know God's presence. We need to recognize that God has a ministry for us, that we are all his ministers, and that God wants to minister to, he wants to bring the kingdom into this world through us, personally, individually. And God has specific things for you and me to do. And all we have to do, I know, all we have to do is ask, listen, and obey. And when we have that understanding, that sense of what God wants us to do, we need to be obedient and be willing to look foolish. So our faith is in one sense what we believe, but that has no substance unless it impacts our lifestyle, unless we have a mission. Faith must have substance. It must have a reality. It's not just a creed. It's a creed with a mission. And faith requires us to step out and be prepared to look foolish. So, time is running out, but I want to ask, as I've asked once before, if there's anybody this morning who would like prayer, who is in pain, who would like ministry, so that we can show that this is not just theory and not just something we talk about, but something that we are willing to put into practice. Because when we minister to people who have pain, then it's our experience that the pain goes and the pain is dealt with. And when we minister to people who are sick, then it's our experience that maybe not always, but often, they are healed. So if there's anyone who would like ministry this morning, then please say so, and we'll minister to you. Would anybody like that? Yeah? And do you want to come right now and come forward? Anybody who would like to pray? Anybody who'd be willing to sit down? Well, is it something you're willing to share with us, or something we just pray anyway without you telling us?
Well, it's me.
Okay, all right. We need some ladies as well. We're going to pray for knees. We need ladies if we're going to lay hands on. Somebody come forward. Come on, ladies. Whether you got faith or not, it doesn't matter. We're just been. Oh, you want prayer as well? Okay. So, what we're going to do is we're going to pray and we're going to trust God to come and work. And first of all, we need to be in an atmosphere, a state of worship, acknowledging God's presence here. And we need to know that as we worship God, then he will minister, he will send his spirit and will minister with healing. And it's in that atmosphere of worship and knowing the love of God. The love of God is critical and important. We need to know and experience the love of God as we minister. So Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you that Jesus died for us. And we are blessed by the knowledge of that. as we come to minister, we minister as we worship you, and we minister through your love. So the presence of God as we minister is so important, and as we minister, we take authority over the sickness and over the pain, because God has given us, Jesus has given us that authority to minister through his power, through his authority. So as we minister, we'll take authority over the pain. So perhaps one or two would like to just pray now. Is it okay if we lay hands on you? Lady, lay hands on you. Lord, we invite your kingdom to come right now. And we take authority over this pain, and we release your kingdom. We release your healing power in the name of Jesus. As we do that, we're not afraid to make mistakes. We're not afraid, because it's God's credibility, it's God's authority, and in the end it doesn't depend on us, it doesn't depend on what we can do, but only in the authority that God has given. So it's not something that God is actually doing because of a power within us, an ability within us. It's God, something that God is doing through us as he ministers through us. So we are just a conduit for enabling God to work. And that's the reason why in the end all of the glory goes to God, because we are just being obedient. We have no power within ourselves. We're only channels of the power of God at work. So when, as usually happens, the power, the pain goes, and the healing comes, we always are aware that there's no credit to us other than that we have been obedient. Because he is the one, God and Jesus is the one who heals, and he is the one who gets the glory. How do you feel? Is there anything? Do you feel anything?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Not the moment.
Not the moment, okay. Okay. So this is something we can be open about and we can be honest about. Sometimes God will work immediately and directly, and there will be the evidence of that straight away. And sometimes it takes time, and sometimes it might happen gradually over the coming days. But one thing I am confident in is that God always ministers, and that there's always a blessing, and there's always good that comes out of the ministry, and that's what we look for, and we're grateful for. So we'll continue to minister. So as we close now, and you know, God bless you, and enjoy your tea and coffee together, and have a good day. Thank you.